Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women that have experienced this intimately and want to support other women so they don't have to walk the path alone. We are not professionals, and the content of this show is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join a therapist-led support group to help your betrayal trauma, you may reach out to us at healingwithworth.org to join one of our online worth groups. Now, here are your hosts, Janine and Naomi.
Welcome back to a new season of Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Janine and Naomi. And last week on the podcast, we spoke with Kimberly Day, who is the director of Worth. Now, you heard, if you listened to that podcast, you heard that she was also a member of Worth as a participant, which makes her uniquely qualified to serve in this capacity. So she has been the director of Worth since May of 2023, and we wanted to bring her back and go more into depth on some of the new changes that have happened in Worth and get some more information on the different services and support that might be of interest to those who listen.
So if you haven't heard last week's episode, go back and take a listen, especially if you're considering a place to process all your strong emotions right now. Maybe you've just found out that your husband is looking at porn, or maybe you've been dealing with this for many years and you're at a breaking point. So Naomi was in that place where she had known about it for many years, and I was pretty new to the experience, but we all needed a place to process those strong emotions. And either way, these processing groups that we talked about last week are really helpful. And all three of us can attest to that, Kimberly, myself, and Naomi. So it really is a bargain for $75 a month. I honestly don't think that you can find anything cheaper out there. So if you're needing to spend time initially processing through some things with a group and with a therapist, because these are therapist-led groups, this would be a great place to start. And you can go back and you can find out how to get started in one of those groups by listening to last week's episode. Some of the benefits that we talked about in these groups is that it's a safe place for support, and you learn a new language, you process through these emotions, you learn new skills, and you recognize relational unhealthy patterns. So it's really a great place.
Yes, it is. Okay, so welcome back, Kimberly. We're so glad that you joined us again. And there are so many other services that are going to be helpful after this initial processing group. So thanks for coming back and continuing this discussion.
I am so excited to be back. I've had you ladies on my mind all week since last time we met, and the chance to talk a little bit more deeply about really about the journey, the process. I love stories. I love the stories of our women and the evolution of our individual healing journeys. And obviously with all stories, they're all individual. And yet one of the things that has really captivated me since I've become the director is finding and really creating a roadmap sort of experience that helps women to progress. What often happens, I think most women who have spent any time in this recovery realm have experienced feelings of stuckness, mm-hmm. or just,
yeah,
this is where I'm at, and it doesn't feel like there's any movement, there's no progress, and that lends to despair, depression, hopelessness. And being able to come back and talk a little bit about the journey and the evolution of this process in a broad sense, and with an allowing space for the individual nuances of everybody's story, I'm hopeful that it will create a sense of hope for those who do feel stuck. And then specifically how our programs and how I wanted and we're working to develop our Worth program to facilitate women's journeys in different points along this healing path, because they can look very diametrically different.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah, there are so many different avenues that one can take to not be stuck. And so today we want to recap a little bit what we talked about last week, because we talked more about the therapeutic healing groups and that process when you find out or when you're ready to get help, you're in a situation where you're isolated, most likely have been keeping this secret for a long time. And so getting into Worth is part of that process and kind of the process that we go through to get you assigned to a group. And something that we may or may not have mentioned in the previous episode was the opportunity for coaching at the start, which is new, that this wasn't there when I joined. But so when you first join Worth, you're offered 2 free coaching sessions to help get you started and give you some tools to get on your feet and really start to feel the ground underneath you again. And so that's an awesome resource to have at your disposal. It's not required, but it is something that's there for you. And then in addition to that, there are what we call phase 1 classes. So this is also a free resource. So you can join, and anybody in Worth can join anytime. And these classes are held at a certain time each week. And there's a teacher that kind of is offering a lot of the tools when we're talking about boundaries and self-care and things like that. These are classes to help you learn some more education around what's going on and what you're dealing with in terms of addiction and what that means and the process of working through the healing portion of that. Is there anything that I'm missing, Kim?
I think that was the gist of it. It can be really overwhelming. I will just add this. It can be really overwhelming for women when they start. Usually what prompts them to reach out is pain. Unfortunately, it's because things have gotten so bad and they feel an out of hand and the pain has gotten so great and they just need help. Oftentimes they're in very much experiencing some severe trauma symptoms, and it can be really hard to retain new information or even to track your own thought process. So It can feel really overwhelming for a lot of reasons. So I appreciate that we're spending a second just reviewing what that looks like, what that experience is like from a new woman coming in from her perspective, and then just reviewing some of the different things that she can opt into. Mm-hmm. Of course, the processing groups, and this will probably always be the case, they are really the core of what we do, but we have supplemental support in addition, really to help women in that early phase of healing, mm-hmm. when there's a lot of rawness, when there's a lot of reactivity. According to the APSAS model, that phase 1, the main goals early on in your betrayal trauma recovery are creating safety for yourself and stability. Mm-hmm. And so really the focus is often on whether you're in the processing group or you're getting the individual coaching or you're in the phase 1 class. A lot of the pieces are around recognizing danger or threats to your safety. Oftentimes women, this is brand new for them to even think about it in these ways, recognizing why they're responding the way they are. So threats to safety, and they can be acting out of a partner, which seems obvious, but they can be other things like harshness or gaslighting or intimidation or lack of information. There's so many layers of safety violations and this is where the individual coaching can come in handy at the beginning, mm-hmm. to help women really connect with what is their experience of where are the need for boundaries and how to implement them. Mm-hmm. But you're going to learn that and hear about that no matter where you are, whether you're in the processing group. The phase 1 classes have a class on boundaries, or in that one-on-one coaching where you can get more fine-tuning in applying what you're learning elsewhere to your situation. Also, the need for self-regulation is often really critical at this time. Mm-hmm. Women come in feeling legitimately like they are going crazy, mm-hmm. and for good reason. And right. I will just say that to anybody who relates to that experience, you are not. You are right. Not going crazy. But it seems to be a universal experience of feeling like you're going crazy. And so understanding why that is and helping yourself to get grounded so that you can see things more clearly. You can make good judgments about what you need and mm-hmm. what needs to be done to progress forward for yourself, for your relationship if you're married, and for your family, for your kids, if you're trying to figure this out with kids involved. And that all of these are really heavily weighted decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's so disconcerting to have these on your shoulders when you feel like your greatest asset, your mental faculties, are not at their top of the
right.
game.
Right.
So we understand that's part of the experience. So helping women to understand self-care is another piece of this mm-hmm. and why self-care helps them to self-regulate, why it's mm-hmm. an important piece of that puzzle for them so that they can start to make the decisions that they need to make, see what is happening, and be more active in the role of their own healing and moving the relationship and the family into a realm that is more acceptable, or at least inviting. I should reframe that. I don't want to imply ever that any woman's responsibility is to take responsibility for her husband's addiction or his recovery journey. That is not mm-hmm. hers. But often women have much more power. I will say we as women have much more power than we know, but we need to learn how to use it wisely and where to find it. And that's hard to do when your life is in chaos, when your mm-hmm. body is exploding, your emotions are all over the place. And that's the phase one work of trying to get that settled and get some clarity. So all three of those resources, the groups, the processing groups, the individual coaching, the phase one class, are oriented towards,
stability. Stabilizing. Yeah.
Yeah. As you've been talking, I've been thinking about my own journey and the reactiveness and the things that we work through in that phase, and came to realize that it's really hard to feel the spirit during this phase when you're in such a heightened state of reactivity.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, because for many of our listeners, for many of our women, they come with a deeply devoted background. That's really that right. Their faith is sacred to them and has been a grounding influence, and feeling disconnected from that source of strength in their greatest time of need is extremely mm-hmm. confusing and upsetting, frustrating for them. And I appreciate that you shared that and normalized that. That was my experience as well. I think that is for many women. And then it can add that other layer of complexity of, what am I doing wrong? What am I guilty of? My feelings are out of control. I'm too angry, or I'm too, I am offensive in some way. I need to.
Right.
Go ahead.
Because often she's being told this by her husband anyway. So it reinforces this mindset of hers that it's her fault. It's she's the one causing the problems, blah, 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 blah.
Yes. Yeah. We have a lot of women coming in with some heavy gaslighting around that their emotions are out of control. They're the problem.
Yeah.
And you're just mean. And
Yeah.
Totally. Sitting here now, it's infuriating to remember. But like looking back, absolutely. And even still, I think oftentimes we go through periods of time in our life when there are intense emotions that, and especially when you're in a survival mode, it just is harder. And something that I have realized, just a little plug here, that I may not feel it in the moment or recognize it in the moment, but I can always look back and see the subtle ways that God's hand has guided and directed.
Yeah.
And so you may not always know it right at the output of it, but when you look back, you can see those tender mercies mm-hmm. that have come in, and you may not realize it, but have actually helped you along the path. And honestly, I think worth is one of those tender mercies.
Totally.
Like, it was for me.
Having it pop up. Yeah. Having it pop up and having some place that's offering help and support, and especially giving opportunities at a very low cost and even free, like 2 free coaching sessions at your start with an individual, like that's unheard of. And so I think it's a wonderful thing to have resources that are divinely appointed, I would say.
Yeah. So once a woman kind of moves through this phase one, once she's got a little more stability, once she's learned the language, what next for her? Or what would be helpful for her next?
Yeah.
What resources are available to her?
First of all, I want to say when it comes to the evolution of your healing, none of this is linear. I would love like these very clearly delineated there's this and predictable, this is going to take this long and then you move nicely into this next phase and it isn't that way. So
Yes,
as
but
we talk about,
women want to know how long it's going to
Oh,
take.
they do.
Right.
Absolutely. How long am I going to be in this pain? Absolutely. Because we want to be able to predict and make some sense of our experience and have some hope. And when we've been in what feels this kind of torture for what feels like forever, we want a time frame. I will say to that, if you're experiencing that, it's amazing how quickly, depending on it, there's so many factors, but it is amazing how quickly positive change can start to happen. I love hearing, even within the first few weeks of women getting connected with a community, having permission to share openly their experience and be given, sometimes for the first time, validation of their experience, a few simple tools. Now, boundaries. I guess I shouldn't say simple tools. They can be pretty complex, but they can start out pretty, be pretty, these tools and mindset shifts can be so incredibly freeing to feel like you're not alone, to feel like you're not broken. In fact, to feel, to know, or to start to hope that there really isn't anything wrong with you, that you're normal, and that what you're experiencing is understandable based on the situation. Reorienting can be so empowering in that way. From there, these processing groups, again, these core processing groups, some women will stay in them for years and years, and that is wonderful. They're very versatile. They're very versatile. That's why we have therapists running them who can adapt to the needs of the women and the individual needs that are there at that time. So they're processing groups so that there's freedom to follow the needs of the group at the time and the individual women and where they're at. These groups, I never say they're just for this first phase. And they are what we call revolving groups, where there isn't, here's the new cohort. They're all coming in fresh and new. Here's your brand new ladies of who are all starting at the beginning, and you go through for 6 months or a year or whatever, and then you're through. You have women at all different levels in the group, which is one of the strengths, I think, is to see women at different levels. Women who've been there for, who've been working their own recovery for a year or more gives so much hope to the ladies who are new coming in. So much more, in my opinion, than the therapist herself. So sometimes I secretly think we should pay our long-time standing group members. Just please stay here because you have so much to bring. They do. They really. I rejoice, and also I'm always sad when when women say, "Okay, it's time for me to move on," and it's a very individual decision that women make for a lot of different reasons. Oftentimes, that revolving nature of the group and the fact that you're having new women coming in raw trauma with these really intense stories can start to feel like, okay, I am ready to move to somewhere else and continue my journey without the raw intensity of the brand new women coming in. And have a couple of options for that. We have mentor-led groups that are run by fantastic mentors who are unpaid volunteers. So these mentor-led groups are free. They're run by amazing women who have been through this themselves, who have been working their own recovery for a substantial period of time and want to facilitate the ongoing growth of other women. And so there's a manual that they refer to, and they go through a series of lessons each week in a group setting where they review core principles and then have a dialogue and a discussion about application of those principles. It facilitates, again, that camaraderie of a group of experience, but there's less processing of the intensity of raw emotion. Oftentimes they're more structured. Those groups and the processing groups, I would say, are both really good options for working through what APSATS calls the phase two, which is grief and mourning. And that phase is laden with a lot of intense emotions at times, anger being not the least of those intense emotions.
True.
I think I'm still in that phase after right? 8 years.
I think, yes, I think many of us are, or we revisit it frequently. Grieving and the loss of this experience is something we come back to over and over. That grief process is a way of life, really, of a healthy way of honoring truth and loss and being able to integrate it into your life in a way that is forward moving and hopeful and accepting of what's truth and still open to new life experiences and growth. What often happens is there is a shutting down of feeling or a numbing or disconnecting from intense emotions, especially after the rigor of that phase one, like the reactivity, I laugh because it almost seems, if you look at these two phases just by themselves, that they have almost different goals, where your phase one, you're trying to get control of your emotions, right? You're trying to calm them down, back them down, not have them like rule your life and not be so reactive and so living in a fight or freeze sort of state. Whereas in phase two, there's space where we really move into changing how we relate to our own emotions in a way where they're less threatening to us. They can be intense, but they're not necessarily dysregulating. They don't throw us off. They don't throw us into a state where we're going to act outside of our value system. Whereas,
but they're also directing, right? Like actionable behaviors, like recognizing those behaviors and what they tell you, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, it's almost paradoxical. There's a lot of clarity that we can get by leaning into the grief process, and not just grief, but our emotional experience, leaning into what that has, the wisdom and the information that our emotions have to bring. Whereas sometimes early on in that phase one, when we have women who are really activated and who are acting out of anger or another intense emotion, that are behaving in ways that they're not proud of. That kind of high intensity emotion, I do want to say that emotion can be present at all of the phases, and it is oftentimes very understandable and warranted because of things that are happening. But that type of, again, that grief and mourning is a shift into your emotional experience in a different way than is often accessible to you early on in that healing process. And again, this isn't linear. We go in and out. We may start out a little bit in phase one and go into grief and mourning really quickly, and then have to go back to, and really, and this is very normal for our betrayed partners, having to constantly revisit safety and stability, especially if you have a partner who is still acting out, who is still betraying, who is still unpredictable that way. You're always having to come back and revisit those basic foundation principles. So again, not linear, but it is helpful to see some of the mile markers, if you will, and put words and labels to some of these experiences. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the mentor-led group. Sorry, I get so excited about this stuff. I get
we can tell. We love it.
No, so, it's great.
Yeah, it is. And so tell our listeners how long these classes are, these groups.
As long as you want them to be.
Oh, okay. You can be in them as long as you want to be. Yeah. But long are they each time?
For the processing groups, they're an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours, depending on. Okay. And then the mentor-led groups are about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Once a week for both.
And you have multiple time slots for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Depending on what works best for.
Yeah, we got
your schedule.
Lots of groups running
During the day,
throughout
during the
the week.
evening.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay,
On the
perfect.
week, wait, I don't think we have, I don't know if we have any weekend processing groups. Maybe we should get a weekend one in there. But yes,
Okay.
afternoon, morning, evening, which day, what time of day. So we're pretty, we have enough groups going on that, yeah, usually just picking one that fits
Yeah.
your need or your schedule.
And they are over Zoom. So.
Yes, they're over Zoom.
And if you want to, if you need to change groups, that's pretty easy to do.
It is, yeah.
Based on your schedule. Okay, so let's talk about advanced healing groups, because I think that's something that maybe is less known about.
Yes,
and
it is, because it's brand new.
Yeah.
It is a new creation that I'm super excited about.
So at what point would somebody go from initial stages to an advanced healing group? It sounds like maybe I'll never get there. But at what point do they move to an advanced healing groups? And are they run by a therapist or are they run by volunteers?
Right now, our advanced, we have one. I am hopeful to expand that as we get more interest. They are run by a therapist. They are processing groups as well. But they are of a little bit different flavor, very similar to the processing groups, but they are for women who have been working their own recovery for a substantial period of time. So it allows space for the therapist and for the group to lean into some of the challenges of personal ownership of your own healing journey, to be more responsible for this process of evolving into who you want to be. So it's a little bit more, there's far less coddling, and that's probably a poor word choice here. Early on with groups, our women are coming in, we have all these, that's what it is. I keep hitting
bruised.
It with my hand.
Yeah,
they're coming in bruised.
Yeah.
They're coming in raw. We have these analogies about third degree burns, being beaten up, being hit by a truck, where they are in emotionally in this ICU state where they need to be treated very carefully, where they need to be cared for. And oftentimes the invitation is to give women permission to see themselves as deserving of that type of tender care that usually, quite frankly, they're not getting from outside sources. We practice giving it to each other. We practice, then it feels more intuitive and natural to give it to ourselves. And that invitation to be gentle and to be soft and self-compassion. Now that we don't stop that, of course, in the advanced healing group, but there is more space to allow women to get into more of the complexity and the nuance of personal responsibility and how do they really engage their own agency in a way that is empowering. Where are they holding themselves up, speak in their own thought process? Where are they deferring responsibility to situations or even to their spouse that they can own for themselves? So it allows us to have space to continue our personal journey of growth in a little bit of a different flavor. And so these advanced healing groups, they are brand new. I'm really excited about them and where I see them going to really building up and empowering women, really in relation to like the trauma research in a kind of a post-traumatic growth mindset of how do I take this experience that I've had and the ick and the horribleness that it was and really allow it to transform me into a stronger person, somebody who is more capable of living and loving well and more wisely at a higher level. And that's what's exciting about that.
Yeah.
So,
and make meaning of it all too.
Yes.
So with these advanced healing groups, are they limited to people who are remaining in the marriage and still working through that? Or are they open to women who have left? Because I know we have divorce groups and marriage groups. Is that the same for the advanced healing? There's a divorce end and a marriage end, or are they combined together? How does that work?
Since we just began them, Right now, we just have a married one. I am anxious to start a divorced advanced healing group as soon as we have enough interest. So if that is of interest to anybody who's listening, just self-identify. And we would love to get that started as soon as possible.
Make yourself known.
Yes, make yourself known. Email worth@lifechangingservices.com or excuse me, .org, so they know to add you to the list. A lot of the, and I'm going to refer this back to the ABSETS three phases again. And again, these aren't necessarily directly intended to connect with the phases, but it is helpful, at least in my view, to have a sense of general progress. And with ABSETS, their third phase in trauma recovery healing or betrayal trauma recovery is reconnection. And this advanced healing group, one of our goals is really to help women reconnect with themselves in a way. And I would say it even a little bit differently than that, rather than just reconnecting with an old self that they lost connection with, but a recreation again, where you can take those elements of growth and progress and strength that you've gained and integrate them into who you want to be and be more engaged in that, determining you said it beautifully, Janine, what do I want this to mean to me? How do I want to take this and integrate the learning lessons in a way that allows me to metabolize the whole experience, get rid of the bad, get rid of it, and pull from it the nutrients, the elements that have something to offer me, and therefore make the person that I'm becoming more capable of giving back in a positive way to the world that I live and the family that I'm creating, whatever that family looks like, even if that's the family of one.
I look at this phase as a rebirth phase.
Yes. You know? I love that word.
Yeah. So right now, when is this particular group being held?
Right now it's Mondays at, I believe, 10 a.m. Mountain Time.
Okay. Great.
But eager to start them more throughout the week too.
So just email Worth then?
Mm-hmm. Worth@lifechangingservices.org.
Perfect.
All this information has been so great. And I know there's so much more that we could talk about when it comes to Worth and all the programs. But really quick, why don't we just in closing talk about the educational series that Worth has started? Will you tell us just a brief explanation? What is it? How is it offered? And what's coming up?
Awesome. Guess what? I'm really excited about this. The Worth Education Series was designed to help address specific issues that get women stuck or that keep women stuck. There's a lot of complexity when you're dealing with addiction, sexual addiction, betrayal, trauma. And there's some reoccurring issues that I see regularly that are off the beaten path enough, but that are common enough in a woman's experience that can really lead to that stuckness experience of I can't progress. And depending on the issue, they can need additional support. The Worth Education Series was designed to help to give additional resources, awareness, psychoeducation, support around specific issues that can lead to that feeling of being stuck. As you can imagine, there are quite a few different courses that address specific or related issues. So the one that we have coming up next is one on gaslighting. The title is Deconstructing Gaslighting, and we're working with Sarah Morales, who is a gaslighting expert. She has spent over a decade really doing a deep dive into understanding the gaslighting experience and has created a phenomenal curriculum. She's also a betrayal trauma specialist, so a lot of her content is very well geared toward betrayed partners to help them to understand the gaslighting experience, what is happening to them, and to empower themselves to essentially to be able to respond, to see what's happening, and to not give their power away when gaslighting is a common pattern in their relationships. So there's so much I could talk about in addition to that, but I will leave that there. That's beginning this next March 6th, and it's an 8-week course. Our next course after the gaslighting course begins in May, and that will be on finding personal power through intentional living. I am also looking forward to creating a one-day art narrative workshop to help women process in a very unique and empowering way their own lived experience and shift the narrative or change the story in a way that helps them to move through that some of the things that had been leading, causing them to feel stuck. Lastly, another one that I'd like to have coming in the fall is addressing destructive patterns or abuse in your relationship. Those destructive patterns, that abuse is so real oftentimes when you're dealing with betrayal trauma, and getting some clarity on that, having assessments. I have an assessment that I've developed specifically for betrayed partners that I want to offer as part of that course, and so much more. Again, I get excited about the idea of expanding our resources that we can offer. When you sign up for a Worth Education Series course, that those recordings, they're a class, but they're recorded, and their resources and the recordings are put in a portal that you can assess for the rest of your life. So you can essentially create your own library of courses and build your own library of resources to come back to whenever you need those additional, that additional help.
That's amazing.
Perfect. I am very interested in talk to you about the assessment that you've designed. Very interesting. That's awesome. Yeah, abuse is so prevalent in this situation with our husbands. So I think it really is important for women to understand what's going on and to call it what it is and to not be afraid of that, but also to know what tools are available to help keep them safe.
Yeah. I hear the call for another podcast on abuse and patterns, abusive patterns.
We'll definitely do one. Lots of them. But okay. So then Worth has social media, right? Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah. We do have Facebook groups for those who are in the groups so that you can stay
private.
Connected.
Private Facebook
it's a private
page.
Group for those who are in, whether you're married or in a divorce group.
We are so glad that you've come on and shared all these wonderful resources with our listeners. And is there anything else that you would like to share before we wrap up?
I always like to just put a plug in for those who are listening that there is hope. Because having been through this experience myself, it can be so defeating and personally just deflating. It can feel like it robs you of so much, even your very identity. And to have hope that there is a coming back from these kinds of experiences, it can be a struggle. Wherever you are in the process, this can be such a disheartening journey.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about Worth is the feeling that you're not alone, and that there are others who are walking this path, even if it's not your path, they're walking a similar path beside you. There are those who are willing and eager to reach out and take your hand and say, we're going to walk this together. And that's one of the things I love, having been in this as a participant, to feel like this is something that we are moving as a group forward. This empowering of women and women's voices and women's choices. We do this because we are in connection with other women. We do things we can't do alone. We do things we really cannot do alone. But when we're not alone, the doors to our potential open wide. And it's a thrilling opportunity to be part of watching that happen for the women who are part of this.
Absolutely. I completely agree. In looking through social media, Jill Manning, we've had her on the podcast in the past, and she is a huge proponent of recovery work for betrayed partners. She works in that field, and she had posted a post about group therapy that I just thought was so, just summed it up wonderfully. So she says, group therapy has been consistently shown to be highly effective in supporting healing. With group therapy, individuals can gain a recovery community efficiently, see how new skills are applied in various circumstances, reduce isolation, learn vicariously from others' mistakes and successes, have their experience witnessed in a safe and appropriate way, practice emotional intimacy, reduce the cost of therapy, and get out of their comfort zone to stretch new healing muscles. And so she says, I see individuals make more progress when they have incorporated group therapy into their healing plan. So if you're wondering if it's a good idea, it's a very good idea. And all of these benefits are there for you that Kim's eloquently explained. And I have felt it. I have seen it. And hopefully these podcasts have given you an opening to see where this can be beneficial and helpful in all capacities of your healing progress through this journey. So thank you for listening. And then we'll see you next time.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure you visit our website, healingwithworth.org, to enroll in a therapist-led support group or to check out our blog. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or wherever you may listen, or simply tell a friend about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode, because you are worth it.